Good afternoon, everybody. I hope you are having a fabulous time here at Celebrate Your Life. I know this amazing woman needs no introduction and that you are all here to see her, so I will keep this brief. Sunny Dawn Johnston is a spiritual teacher and one of the more beautiful people that I've ever met, inside and out. She is the founder of the Alliance Sunlight Alliance Health Center out there in Gilbert. Yeah. Glendale. My mistake. And she's just an amazingly wonderful angel person. So that is what we are here to hear today. Before you leave, she would like everybody to pick up an angel prayer card. And if you have not received either of these two flyers, they are at the back table as well. So please put your hands together and welcome Miss Sunny Dawn Johnston. All right, how are you all? I'm so excited to be here. And I need to introduce my musician, Chris Volker, who will be helping us to raise the vibration and guide you to a higher level of communication and connection with your angels, if you so choose. So we are here. Woo, I'm loud. Okay, that's better. Is that better? Not blowing your eardrums out? Okay, so we are here to talk about how to connect and discover your angels. I have been doing this work for about the last 10 years professionally out in public, for many years behind the scenes, trying to kind of figure out how to raise my vibration, connect with my spirit guides, connect with deceased loved ones. Just a real brief background. At the age of 13, I had my first angel experience where I saw an angel floating above me when I had woke up in the middle of the night. It was a night particularly that was difficult. I was struggling as a teenager. I struggled with self-esteem. I had weight issues, and I struggled with feeling like I fit in, like I was accepted. Any of that sound familiar to any of you? And I was raised in a metaphysical house from the time I was about six. My mother was into this type of work, metaphysics, and had classes at our house and practiced, you know, using crystals and doing healing and meditation and those types of things. And so at the age of 13, I had my first angel experience. And after I had that experience, I started recognizing that we also had a ghost that lived in our house. And I would talk to the ghost, and I would feel her, and I would tell my friends about her, and I found out that that wasn't the most popular thing to do, and that people started to get scared. They thought I was a little bit nuts, and the part of that that makes it even more important is that I was raised in Salt Lake City, Utah, and so that wasn't the normal experience for people, and so at that point, I really figured out that I wasn't normal. And I didn't quite know what normal was. At that age, I was looking to be normal. And so for many years, I really struggled with trying to figure out how to honor my intuitive gifts because I was very empathic. I'm a clairsentient is my strongest attribute, which means I feel, I take on, I absorb a lot of people's energy. That was the way that I experienced my intuitive gifts. And so I struggled with trying to figure out how to discern what my stuff was versus what other people's stuff was. How many of you have had that experience? Yep. Okay. So what I'd like to do is, I only have an hour and a half, and that is not very long. I like 20 hours. So I'm going to try and fit as much as I possibly can in to give you as many tools that you can leave with to be able to really feel the angelic presence around you. I am sure that you're here because you either have had an experience with the angelic realm, you've either seen, heard, felt, or you know that they are around you, but likely you'd like to develop that stronger. So I want to start just by just by kind of setting the tone and opening the space energetically by raising the vibration a little bit. And so I'm going to have Chris play a song that's called The Invitation. And you ready?
Ready.
Sometimes she doesn't know exactly what I'm going to do until I say it. So this is a song called The Invitation. And I would just like you to close your eyes, because as we're working in the angelic realm, it's all about unconditional love. The angels are here to remind us to love ourselves and others unconditionally. And so we're just going to ask you to go within, go into your heart center as you listen to this song.
I invite you to consider why you've come here today. Are you longing for connection, perhaps wanting to play? Or are you willing to take a risk or sift through some pain? Will you let your spirit dance, or will you simply refrain? I extend an invitation for you to notice your way. Let others lead you, or will you take on the day? The door is open wide, the space is here to be. Loving arms to embrace you. Open hearts to help you see. Will you show up in your life if the day's got you down? Can you be true to yourself, or are you married to your frown? Are you willing to be alone when people are all around, so you can listen to that voice that gets quieted by the sound? I extend an invitation for you to notice your way. We let others lead you, or will you take on the day? The door is open wide, the space is here to be. Loving arms to embrace you, open hearts to help you see. Invite you to be. I invite you to be.
Okay, let's just keep your eyes closed for a minute. Taking a nice deep breath. So our intention is just for you to open the door to your spirit. And feel the energy of the room right now. Can you feel that moving through your heart? Can you feel the presence of spirit? Are you willing to listen? Take a nice deep breath in for me. And when you feel ready, you can open your eyes. Feel a little more grounded now in your heart center. I like to start with exercises that help us to not only raise the vibration, but also to connect to your heart Because that is where you'll feel the angel's guidance. You feel it. You can hear it. You can see. You can know. You'll feel it in this heart center, this connection to not only the physical world, but the spiritual world. And we have the physical body and our spirit, and they meet in the center, which is your heart. What a beautiful group of people. Okay, so I'd like to start just by giving you a little bit of information about the angelic realm, the different levels of vibration. Many of you may already know this, but I think it's important because we oftentimes have people that are on the newer end of the journey. And then we're going to move right into some of the archangels and how to incorporate them in your daily life. Let me ask you this. How many of you have had an experience with your angels where you are absolutely 100% sure you've seen them, felt them, heard them, or know that they're there? Okay, nice. All right. So for me, that experience when I was 13, it started opening a lot of different doors. I started having a lot of experiences. I felt very safe when I saw her. And the next morning I woke up and I told my mom, and I woke up, I saw the angel, I rolled back over, went back to sleep. Very shortly after that, I started having experiences where I would know things before they were going to happen. I would know things about people. And then I had an experience with my little brother. Now, my little brother is 8 years younger than me. And so at this time, he was 5. And he was very, very psychic as well, but he was visual. I was clairsentient. I absorbed everything, all the sadness, all the pain, the anger, frustration, all those things I kind of took on. He was psychic. He would see the spirits. He would see his angels. And at 5 years old, what he knew them to be, because angels will come to you in the form that you believe them to be. So if you believe that they're a beautiful winged being, that is very likely the way that you'll experience them. If you believe that they're an energy and a vibrating energy and different colors, then that's the way that you will experience them. So at 5 years old, my brother's experience of the angels was shapes with wings. And so he would see these shapes with wings all the time. And he called them his friends. My friends are here. My friends want to go and play Legos. My friends want to go outside. He always talked about his friends. We'd get into the car to go to the store, and we'd have to open the door so all of his friends could get in the car. When we'd get in the grocery store, we'd get in the shopping cart. His friends needed their own cart. So as a teenager, and I tend to be a little bit, I would say I'm a little bit feisty sometimes, especially at 13. I would do things like I'd shut the door to see if we'd catch any of the friends, because I couldn't see them. And so I was just kind of a little bit playful, but feisty. So anyway, one particular night, my parents, who were having a lot of issues in their relationship, a lot of arguing, fighting, things like that, they had decided to go out to dinner, and it was the first time that they'd ever left me alone with my brother. So I was 13, he's 5. And all of a sudden, he comes in and he says, "Sonny, my friends are brown and black, and they have frowny faces." And I could feel the heaviness, the fear, the lower vibration, but I couldn't see them. And he was running around. He was scared, and he was hiding from them. And so the only thing that I knew to do was to go to the very far corner of our house, which was brick, and sit against the wall for 5 hours till my parents came home, because that was before cell phones and all that kind of stuff. So we sat there till my parents came home, and I said, "Listen, you know, there's something going on. You need to fix this." It was scary. So my mother said, "Well, let me call our friend Leo, and we're going to ask her to come over and clear the house." And I said, "Okay." And so a clearing of the house, she said, it would take any bad energy out of the house. So I'm like, "All right." I'm 13, remember. So the next morning, we get up, and my little brother goes outside. He's riding his big wheel up and down the street. And Leo comes over, and she says, "Okay, we're going to go to the entrance of the house, and I want us to all three hold hands." So we did, and she said, "I want you to close your eyes." And I closed one eye because I wanted to see what was going to happen. And we said a prayer. She said a prayer. And her prayer was very, very simple. She said, I invoke the blue light of Archangel Michael to surround and protect this home from any negative energy or entities, seen or unseen. And, okay, remember I have one eye open because I want to see what's going to happen here, because I'm thinking there's got to be some, you know, flash of light or something if it's going to clear all this negative energy out. Well, nothing happened that I saw. Nothing happened that I felt. However, then she says, okay, now let's open your eyes. We opened our eyes. And my mom goes, oh, it already feels better in here. And I'm probably rolling my eyes going, nothing even happened. I didn't see anything. My little brother, who was out riding his big wheel, didn't know anything about what we're doing, comes running in the house, in the front door, right where we're standing. And he says, Mommy, there is a great big blue bubble around our house. And I thought, oh, maybe something did happen. And from that moment forward, the one thing that I always knew, I didn't always trust it, I didn't always believe it, and I pushed it to the limits a lot of times. But the one thing that I knew was that when you invoke the Archangel's presence into your life, they are there. You can doubt it. You cannot see it, not feel it, not know it, maybe not hear the messages, but they are present. Always. When you ask, which is one of the most important things, is to remember to ask. You have to ask the angels to come into your life. You have to ask them to be there to guide you and direct you and to support you. Because we have this thing you've probably heard of called free will. Have you all heard of it? We kind of use it to the extreme sometimes. But we have to say, I would like your guidance. I would like your support. And that can be as simple as saying, angels, help me. It can be as in-depth as an entire invocation. It can be calling on particular angels at particular times for particular reasons. But you have to ask for that guidance and that support. And then be open to the forms that it comes in, because it comes in many forms. And often the forms are people that you cross paths with. So number one is to remember to always ask for that guidance. Now, with that Archangel Michael experience, what I learned is that Archangel Michael was the angel of protection. He protects our physical space, our energetic space. And what I started doing throughout the years, but intentionally and consistently for the past, I would say, probably 15 years, is inviting him into my space every single day, asking him to protect my energy as well as my physical space, whether that's a car that I'm driving in, whether it's, you know, my home. When my son, who's 19 now, when he started driving, I told him, you can't get in the car unless you say, Archangel Michael, protect my car. And he did. So when we talk, the reason that I think that Archangel Michael is so important and so many people connect with his energy is because many of us are clairsentient. So I'm going to run through the clairs very quickly so that you can see if you can identify what they are and what you are. We all have four different ways that we receive our guidance from the spirit world. There's four of them. There's actually a fifth, but we go by the basic four. The first one is clairaudient. Clairaudient is when you hear clearly. So clair means clearly. So clairaudient is when you hear clearly. It means that you get messages through auditory, whether that's through songs. You know, you get in the car and the same song's on the radio. Your dad who passed over sends you a message through a song. You hear a particular song at a particular time. It can also be where you hear messages inside of your head, like those voices that are in your head. But it's not the negative ones. Okay, that's clairaudient also. Clairaudient too I say I have big ears, and I mean that in the sense that I hear beyond what we would think I would hear. If I'm in a restaurant, I can hear all the conversations that are going on. And my husband gets frustrated because I literally can hear all of them. And so I'm like, oh, that's interesting. That's interesting. And so clairaudient can be that way too, where you hear your messages. That's your strongest attribute, okay? Clairaudient. Clairvoyant. Clairvoyant is clear seeing. It is when you see clearly. Clairvoyant can be someone who has dreams, and then you actually, they come true. Clairvoyant can be someone who sees angels or spirits or auras around people. Clairvoyance can show up in the deja vu types of experiences. So clairvoyant is vision. It's when you see clearly. The vision can be in your mind's eye. It doesn't have to be with your physical eyes, so it can be with your spiritual eyes. That is clairvoyant. Okay? Claircognizant, C-O-G-N-I-Z-A-N-T, for those of you that are writing. Claircognizant is when you know things. You know something, you don't know why you know it, you just know. It's not a gut feeling, it's a knowing up here. You know something's going to happen. You know that you need to turn this direction. You know that when you go to the store, this is going to be on sale. I mean, it can be as simple as little things like that, or it can be huge, miraculous things. So claircognizance is that knowingness. And then clairsentient, S-E-N-T-I-E-N-T, spelling test. Clairsentient is when you feel. And so for clairsentient people, you walk into the room and you feel the energy in the room. It may feel chaotic. You may feel pressure in your heart. You may feel sometimes people's physical pain. Sometimes that heaviness and the emotional pain. So clairsentient are the feelers of the world. Clear feeling. And then there's another one that's called clairfragrant. Clairfragrant is when spirit speaks to you through scent. So your father passed away. He smoked a particular kind of cigarette, you smell that, or a particular kind of tobacco, and you smell that, or your grandmother, an experience for me with clairfragrant, my grandmother passed away 9 years ago, and the day before she passed, she had Alzheimer's, but she was in great physical condition. She had no physical problems at all, but she had Alzheimer's. And she was in about the fourth year sixth year. And I had a claircognizant experience the day before that something was wrong. And I knew that it was something serious to the point that I changed all of my plans, but I didn't know what it was. The next morning I got a phone call that she was in an Alzheimer's care facility, and she walked out of it and froze to death. And I had that claircognizant experience that there was something that was wrong, but I couldn't identify what it was. Shortly after that, just a few days after that, I was talking to her, asking her to give me some guidance as to why she chose to go that way. Because there's many ways that you could go with Alzheimer's. You can last for many years, and she was so physically healthy. And she asked me to be her voice. That she never had a voice even when she was alive, and she was an alcoholic all of her life since she was 18. But when I was asking her for that guidance and direction and why she chose to go this way, she asked me to be her voice. She asked me to change the way that it was perceived. I went to Washington, D.C., changed laws. I became her voice. But when I was having that conversation with her, I smelled Coors beer. And I was like, Grandma, I mean, you know, how about White Shoulders or something else? Why beer? And it was interesting to me because I thought of all the things that you could bring for me to validate that it's you, beer is kind of an odd one in the human form because we put judgment around alcoholism and everything else. And she said, well, you won't get me confused with anyone else. It was true. So that's a clairfragrant experience. So I think it's important for you, first of all, to just get an idea of what your natural attribute is. Now, you may say, well, I've had all of those kinds of experiences. Absolutely. As we develop and we embrace our natural gifts, then the other channels start to open up more and more and more. How many of you would like to open up your intuition more and more and more and more? Okay. Absolutely. That is so nice to see. Thank you. So when you know what your natural attribute is, what I find for my students and clients is that they know what it is, but they don't like that one. Any of you like that? I'm thinking maybe. So You know, I'm a feeler, and I don't want to feel. I just want to see. And if I saw it, then I would know it was real, or then I would trust it, or then I would believe it, or whatever. And what I found is that when you embrace your natural attribute, when you embrace it, honestly embrace it, it opens all the other channels. And this was my experience. So as I was growing up, I was clairsentient. I was empathic. I picked everything up. I started to work with Archangel Michael on and off at different times. And I started recognizing that when I did that, I didn't absorb the energy like I had before. So how many of you in those attributes, those four, how many of you would say that your strongest attribute is audient, clairaudient? You're a hearer. Okay. How many of you would say that your strongest attribute is cognizant? You're a knower. You just know things. Don't know why you know them. They just pop out of the blue. Okay. How many of you would say you're clairvoyant? You're a seer. The dreams, the visions. Okay. Now, how many of you would say you're clairsentient? You're the feelers. Raise your hands high. Look around the room at all the feelers. It tends to be the majority. Feelers tend to be the majority. And we tend to be the ones that have the hardest time saying no. We tend to be, and I'm using me as the example of this, we tend to be ones that end up taking on everybody else's stuff and thinking we can fix it for everybody. And the reason I'm saying this is I think there's a few more of you clairsentients that aren't quite sure. We tend to be the ones that take on the world's problems. And this is the secret about that, is that if you're clairsentient and you absorb other people's energy, it's very hard to discern what's yours and what's others. Would you agree with that? Very hard to discern that. And so what happens is we try to fix other people's issues. They're not ours. So we can't fix them. And that causes more frustration and more energy. And so what happened for me was that through the years, I started recognizing my biggest issue during my teen years, besides not fitting in the environment that I was raised in, was that I struggled with weight. I weighed about 60, 65 pounds more than I do now, and I struggled with it terribly. I would starve myself, and I wouldn't lose a pound, and I would eat, and I'd gain 20 pounds, and it just didn't matter what I did. And through my journey of that struggle with weight, of course, the self-esteem and all that is involved as well. But through that journey, what I recognized is that I was using the physical weight as my energetic protection. Do you understand that? So that weight protected me, so I thought, from people seeing me. It protected me from people being able to feel me. Maybe in some way I thought that it protected me from feeling other people's stuff. So what I did is I just kept gaining weight and gaining weight and gaining weight. And then I hit a crucial time in my life where at 18 years old, I was pregnant. We all know how that happens. And I really struggled with being pregnant. I was not interested in having a baby, never planned on having children. I was in a relationship with an alcoholic and knew that he wouldn't be capable of taking care of a child. I didn't think I was capable of taking care of a child. And so the first thing I did when I found out I was pregnant was I went and hid the pregnancy test, hoping it would go away. That doesn't work. He's 19 and a half now. But what I discovered in this process energetically was that because I was so upset and I was so frustrated and I was so angry that during my pregnancy I had a lot of resentment and a lot of rage and a lot of anger. And because of that, I developed toxemia. Manifested toxemia in my body. Does that make sense to you? You have toxic thoughts about everything? Of course, you're going to create something in your body. So I created toxemia. And when I ended up going to have him, I had preeclampsia, and I started to have a stroke while I was in labor. And after I had him, he went home, and I stayed in the hospital for 3 weeks because they thought I was going to die. And I had 106 temperature for 3 weeks. And after about the first week, I kind of got tired of that. And I thought, you know what, I need some help. And I started remembering. It's interesting because when we're in crisis, do any of you guys do this when you're in crisis? Forget your tools? I mean, I knew all of this stuff. I knew to ask for help. I knew to pray. I knew what different kinds of crystals and things to use. I mean, when I was 13, my mother would take me and lay me on crystal beds to heal me. So I knew all of those things, but I'd forgotten them. And so during that time, I actually decided, you know what? I might need to do something here to actually save my life. And so at that time, I invoked Archangel Raphael. Archangel Raphael is the angel of healing, and he heals physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Well, I believe that whenever there's anything physical going on in the body, there's an emotional component to it that really is what needs to be addressed. Now, if I had been taking on people's energy for all of this time, absorbing junk around me, having struggling with self-esteem issues and things, there is probably some serious healing that needed to be going on. And because of all of my thoughts and my feelings about my relationship and having a child and all of those things, it came to the point where I couldn't ignore it any longer. Isn't that the greatest gift about our bodies? The greatest gift is that our bodies won't let us stay in denial very long. And we can choose to, but at least we become aware of it. So I started calling on Archangel Raphael. Raphael is the angel of healing on all levels. He vibrates to the color green. As I was saying with Archangel Michael, where I imagine that blue bubble appeared around our house as protection, Archangel Raphael's energy is the color green, vibrating to the color green for healing. And I started asking him to help me to heal physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. I also called every family member that I had, which I have a big family because I'm from Utah, and I asked all of them to pray for me. And it didn't matter. At that time, I really struggled with religion, too, because I didn't fit into that religious society. So I had struggled with and had a lot of judgment around religion, especially the religion that I grew up in. And at that time, that part was released. And I just looked at, you know what, I just need support. I need help. And I asked for it. And this is what I want you to hear is asked for it. We have got to ask for it. How many of you know that you need help? It doesn't matter to me if it's physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. You know you need help. You know you need support. But you won't ask. Ask the person sitting next to you, your daughter, your mother, your friend, your angels, your guides, your loved ones. We're often really good at giving and doing for everybody else. But how are you at receiving for yourself? And so when you ask, it starts that process of giving and receiving. And then the energy starts to move and it gets into flow. Does that make sense to you? And so in that hospital room where my son was already gone, being raised by my mother because I was in the hospital and sick for 3 weeks, I recognized that. The other thing that I recognized shortly after that when I came home and started to raise him was I had a lot of forgiveness work to do for myself. A lot. Because I ended up having a baby that was very angry. Imagine that. And so I had this mirror looking at me that needed all of my love and all of my support and unconditional love at that. Yet he screamed and yelled and kicked and was stiff and angry. And every time I looked at him, I saw myself. And that was a painful thing to look at. And I struggled looking at it for many years, honestly. And so when I started, when I was in the place where I wanted to listen, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you just don't want to listen. And when I was in the place that I wanted to listen, I really worked hard at calling in Michael for protection so I wasn't absorbing everybody else's garbage, so I could discern what was my stuff versus what other people's stuff was. Then I started calling in Archangel Raphael, asking him to help me to heal my heart, heal the reason why I didn't feel lovable, the reason why I didn't feel loved, the emptiness that was in my heart that was allowing me to hold on to that anger and that frustration, the part of me that was willing to be in an alcoholic relationship with someone who didn't work and didn't take care of us, the part of me that allowed myself to live in a shack that I didn't have a bed and I was on food stamps and welfare and I slept on the floor with my child on the floor, the part of me that allowed mice to run over us while we were sleeping because that was the condition that we lived in and I wouldn't ask for help from my parents. And so I asked Raphael to help me to heal that. And I believe that the angels come in when we ask and they bring people into our lives and they bring circumstances into our lives and situations into our lives if we ask. And so I started to ask. The first thing that happened was this very famous book that all of you probably know called You Can Heal Your Life fell into my lap. You know that book? If you don't, you might want to get to know it. You Can Heal Your Life fell into my lap. And in that book it said, she didn't talk about angels, but she said that if you change your thoughts about yourself will change. Okay, well, we all know that now, right? We're in that place. We can hear that. But this was 20 years ago when it wasn't the common idea. And she said, if there's something in your life you don't like, you created it. And I'm like, well, that's not me because I surely wouldn't have created this. And then I read the book a second time and I actually heard it. And so people and situations come into our lives to make those changes. So after I started working with Raphael and I had my son and I was in that relationship, found You Can Heal Your Life, and I recognized, you know what, it might be time to really actually do something and quit complaining, quit bitching about everything that wasn't right. You know, I could find blame in him for everything. It was way easier to blame him than to, you know, take the responsibility for it. So that's what I did for quite a while. And then I recognized it might be time for me to own it. So I got out of that relationship and read the Heal Your Life book all the time because I needed something to remind me of my value because I wasn't there yet. And I realized that I didn't have any self-esteem. That my perception of my value was that. Any of you relate to that? And so I started, you know, I've always, since I was 13, always believed in the power of the angelic realm. And so I started studying and learning more about how I could invite different angels into my life to help me. And Archangel Shamuel, 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 was the next vibration that I was meant to learn from. Archangel Shamuel is the angel that reminds us to love ourselves unconditionally. Unconditionally, without condition. Can you do that? Love yourself unconditionally, with no conditions. We like to say that we love others unconditionally. Oh, I love my children unconditionally, or I love my husband unconditionally. Well, first of all, that one's usually a joke right there. But you can't love someone unconditionally if you don't have that for yourself. And I wanted to be that. I wanted to love people unconditionally. I thought that sounded really nice. I thought that I was a pretty nice person. So I thought, well, I'm a nice person. That sounds good. So I could do that. I could love people unconditionally. And then I started learning, nope, you got to have that love for yourself first. And I thought, well, then, it's going to be a little bit harder than I thought. So I started just calling in Shamuel and just asking him to surround me. Shamuel's energy vibrates to the color pink. It's all about adoration and love of self. And so I just started asking Shamuel to be with me, to surround me, to help me to see that unconditional love in myself, to be able to love myself regardless of my shortcomings, which I found were many at that time. And I started changing. One of the first things I did was I attracted a beautiful man into my life that allowed me the space to see myself in a loving place. And I started looking at my son and looking at him as a teacher instead of as a... what word would I say? Well, you know. Yeah, more of a challenge than... but I started asking, you know, allow me to see what I'm meant to learn here. Because with my older son, his name is Crew. He's worth a crew of children. And he... Every place that I looked, there was always something difficult. There was never a smooth day that I remember until he was like 9. And so I started asking to see him in that unconditional space and asking him to teach me. I didn't say it to him because I thought that might give him a little too much power. He knows now that he's my greatest teacher. And I started recognizing some of the patterns that I had created and started witnessing myself. And I started seeing some of the things that I needed to adjust and how if I would just look at it from a place of love, then I wouldn't have to judge it. But I was so in judgment of everything that I'd done. I quit school when I was 15. I was in judgment. Got pregnant when I was 18. I was the first one to get pregnant in the family, out of wedlock, bad deal. I had all of these judgments, which didn't allow me the space to love. So Archangel Shamuel brings us that feeling of unconditional love. How many of you feel like you have actually truly experienced that within yourself, unconditional love? Okay, let me ask you this. Would you all be willing to do an exercise in this class with us where you could experience the feeling of unconditional love with another person in this room? Are you willing? So it's an invitation. Okay, this is what I'd like to do. I would like you to get a partner. It's easier if it's someone you don't know. I'm just going to be honest with you. Okay? And what I'd like you to do, and if you don't want to do this, I'm not going to twist your arm because there's too many of you. But if there weren't so many of you, I'd twist some arms. We'd like to give you an experience where you can actually feel, witness the unconditional love that the angels can really bring to you if you'll allow them to. So what I'd like you to do is I'd like you to turn and face a partner. So just move your chairs around. We're the last ones of the group, so we can make a mess of the room. If you don't have a partner, raise your hand. We'll find you a partner. Okay, we've got one gal right here that needs a partner. Who else needs a partner? Okay, right, hun, right back there. There's a redhead right there, that lady. Yep. Okay, who else needs a partner? If you don't have a partner, raise your hand high so we can see. Okay, so we've got two gals right here. Turn right around here, honey. There's one here. There's a gentleman right back here. There's a gal right over here.
Huh? Yeah, I'm good. Good. Sonny, she needs a partner. She needs a partner.
Oh, hang on. Who else doesn't have a partner? Ava, do you have a partner, hon? Okay, I've got a gentleman back here that needs a partner. Anybody else need a partner? Okay, I've got one gentleman back here. Okay, do I have someone do I have a volunteer that will be this gentleman's partner? Will you be his partner? Okay, right here. Turn around, hon, right? Yep, okay, perfect. Okay, so everybody has a partner. Go ahead and introduce yourself to your partner. Go ahead and get close to your partner. Okay. Okay, so you all have a partner, right? Okay, and you've met your partner. Now, this is what I'd like you to do. The first thing I'd like you to do is I would like you to affirm to your partner that you are willing to participate in this exercise and that you trust them to do this exercise. So you need to look at them in the eyes. Okay. Did anybody say no? I don't actually know what I'm going to do if anybody ever says no. But I like to ask. It's polite. Okay. Now, I want you to just take a breath for a minute. This is going to be an exercise that may be out of your box. And I believe that if you are here, you are drawn here for a reason. And that maybe this can support you in getting out of your box, because the spirit world is out of your box. And what I mean by that is it's not in this physical body. It's connecting on a higher vibrational level. And so this exercise is going to allow you to feel and see and know that vibration and that energy of unconditional love. In order to do that, you have to trust me, Chris. We've got angels posted at all corners. And your partner. And what we're going to do is we're going to play a song. And as we play that song, what I'd like you to do is I would like you to take the opportunity to hold the person in front of you, your partner now, to touch their face. And as we do this, and I know y'all took a breath, and as you do this, I can feel you. Okay, I can feel you. But I'm telling you that if you would like to experience this, I'd love to give you the experience. And so if you have glasses, it's easier to just put them up on top of your head or on your lap. And I'm going to ask you to pick partner A and partner Z. So decide who's A and who's Z.
That's good.
Okay, so we all have an A and we all have a Z. Okay. So the Zs are going to receive first. Now, this is an exercise. There's a lot of purpose behind this. So the Zs are going to receive first. So as an A partner, what you are going to do during this song is you are going to explore your partner's face. Just face. The rest will be in the class on Monday. And so what I'd like you to do is really, I want you to explore the face. I would like you to maintain eye contact. Take a breath. And I will tell you that I don't want any talking. And I know that out of nervousness, you may want to talk or giggle or burp or something. And what I'd like you to do is try to stay in the space, because what I want you to recognize is that you are going to be looking at your angels. Your guardian angel, Archangel Shamuel, Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Uriel are surrounding you in this space. And that when you're looking into your partner's eyes, that is what you're going to see, if you will allow it. So you will get out of this what you will allow. Okay? Are you ready? Okay, take a deep breath for me. Okay, so the Z's are first. I understand it may feel uncomfortable. Just go with it. None of you, have any of you done this before? Okay. So everyone's new. Okay? So just know that everyone's going to be a little bit uncomfortable. But whenever you open yourself to something new, isn't it a little bit uncomfortable? And doesn't uncomfortable get old? Aren't you tired of comfortable? Maybe not in this moment. Okay. All right. So no talking. Just stay. Try to hold the vision of the other person. See them. Because that's what we're looking at. We're looking into each other's souls. And we're exploring their face in that space. Okay? Okay, Chris is going to sing.
Please don't be afraid as I gently touch your face. Will you let my fingers trace your beauty and your grace? Trust me with your heart. Trust me with your tears. Trust me with your hopes. And trust me with your fears. And as I see your light, and I feel all the years, my touch won't be the same. For I found a souvenir. Trust me with your heart. Trust me with your tears. Trust me with your hopes. And trust me with your fears. Please don't be afraid. As I gently touch your face, will you let my fingers trace your beauty and your grace? Trust me with your heart. Trust me with your tears. Trust me with your hopes. Trust me with your fears. And as I see your light, and I feel all the years, my touch won't be the same. For I found a souvenir. Trust me with your heart. Trust me with your tears. Trust me with your hopes. And trust me with your fears. Please don't be afraid.
Take a breath. No talking, please. Just take a breath. Okay, shh. I don't want you to talk because I don't want you to break the energy. You did good. Okay, now we're going to reverse. Okay? So again, you just remember, you're allowing yourself to be seen. You're allowing yourself to give and to receive. Remember, you are in a place where you can receive that feeling of being witnessed and feeling loved unconditionally. Were you able to feel that? Okay, so let's reverse.
Please don't be afraid as I gently touch your face. Will you let my fingers trace your beauty and your grace? Trust me with your heart, trust me with your tears, trust me with your hope, and trust me with your fears. And as I see your light, and I feel all the years, my touch won't be the same, for I found a souvenir. Trust me with your heart, trust me with your tears, trust me with your hopes, and trust me with your fears. Please don't be afraid as I gently touch your face. Will you let my fingers trace your beauty and your grace? Trust me with your heart, trust me with your tears, trust me with your hopes, and trust me with your fears. And as I see your light, and I feel all the years, my touch won't be the same, for I found a souvenir. Trust me with your heart, trust me with your tears, trust me with your hope, trust me with your fears. Please don't be afraid.
Okay, thank your partner in whatever way feels appropriate to you. Okay. You can go ahead and move your chairs back around. There's tissues up here. Okay, so as you're getting back to your seats, go ahead and sit back in your seats. This is probably where I'll need the mic, gal. Okay, so... okay, so I would just like to create a couple of awarenesses for you. First of all, I would really encourage you to take some time after this workshop. I know you're jam-packed busy, but to journal what you experienced, what you became aware of. Okay? In any of the things that I teach, I do not have you do anything I haven't done. And I think that that exercise, if you allow it, can be extremely powerful in, first of all, allowing yourselves to be seen. That's where the unconditional love starts with. This is who I am. This is my shit. This is my good stuff. This is my beauty. This is my grace. This is my all of it. And when you can do that, and you can allow someone to witness for you like that, that is what our angels do for us. They are here. They are around you all of the time, every day, when you ask. And they're just waiting for you to ask. They're waiting for you to ask, because then they can give us that guidance and they can give us that support and they can give us that direction. We don't have to do it ourselves. You don't have to do it yourself. You can ask for help. And when you start to recognize that that love is unconditional, okay, I made a bad choice, in our perception, bad choice. I would say you had an experience that you didn't like. Okay, I made a bad choice, so now here's two other options. Made this choice, there's two other options. The angels will always give you more options. Guidance, they'll whisper a little message in your ear. Somebody will cross your path in this moment. And so that experience that you just had, I'd just like to hear what a couple of you have to say. So I've got a mic, gal, if you raise your hand, she'll come right to you.
Well, I want to say, for years, I've used the greeting and the farewell, stay.
Yes.
I now truly know the meaning of namaste. This exercise, I identify the same God, my partner, is within me, and I will never say the word namaste again without feeling this moment. So, Sunny, namaste.
Thank you. Anybody else like to share? That was perfect. It was perfect. And I would just like to create this awareness or share, sitting here, observing you, I am so blessed. It is such an honor to watch you all open, because I know that that's a scary place to be. I know that it's hard to allow people to see you. I know that we tend to be people that walk through this earth and we just do what we're supposed to do. We do our thing. And we don't often look up and greet people with our eyes. I witness so much looking away when someone looks at you. Instead of connecting with their eyes and seeing them. Because when you look at people and you see them, and I mean see them, judgment is gone. It's gone. There is none. There's nothing besides that connection that says, we are one. I am you. You are me. We are in different forms. We have different experiences. We have different perceptions. But we are the same. And it is very important as we walk this journey, especially as we evolve, I think it's huge to recognize that when you allow someone to see you, you give them a gift. Isn't that what she just said? When I saw her beauty, it gave me a gift that's indescribable. I can't even use words. And so I would just encourage you to allow people to see you. I know it might be uncomfortable. I know it might be scary, but your angels see you. They see every thought, feeling, emotion. They know it all. And they are still standing right behind you in a space of absolute unconditional love. And wouldn't it be amazing if we experienced that in our day-to-day life, not only with the spirit world, but with people? Because you just had a taste of it. It exists. And not just in these rooms. We like to think that this is the safe place and that out there it's going to be different. But I'm pretty sure that you all live out there. So if you live out there, you can be the one to make it different. Can't you? Just one person. It takes one person to say, you know what? I'm not looking down when people look at me. And when someone smiles at me, I'm going to smile back. I'm going to give them that gift. Anybody else like to share? Whoever you want to go to, hon.
I was to be, and I was to receive first, and I too was quite hesitant. But as soon as we started, I felt this pressure. Her hands were just like soft silk.
Thank you. Okay, let's take one more. Right here, hon.
Diane's eyes got wider as we were doing this. It was really beautiful. But the incredible thing for me was listening to Chris's beautiful voice and a choir of angels singing along with her. It was really amazing. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yes. Okay. All right. So I understand most of you said I was hesitant to do this. I heard that. And that's what's so great is that aren't there things in your life that you're hesitant to do, and when you do them, they end up being the most miraculous, incredible things in your life? Whether that's having children, starting a new business, stepping into a relationship, there can be some hesitancy. Some fear, maybe, but stepping into it. Thank you for that exercise. You guys did amazing. Okay, I'd like to move into, I'd like to talk a little bit about the different vibrations of the angels. The different vibrations of the spirit world. A lot of the work that I do is mediumship work. I work as a psychic investigator for a nonprofit group called Find Me. There's 52 psychics in the world that work with police and search and rescue animals. And so we work on missing persons cases all over the world. And so a lot of what I deal with are the different realms of the spirit world. And I think what I find a lot of times is that we don't always understand the varying levels and how to the purpose of raising the vibration in order to connect with them. But just as I'm talking, I tend to work very organically. Like, we didn't have any of this planned. We didn't know what we were going to do when we got up here. Because that's how the angels work. They guide you as you're moving. They don't give you advance warning. Have you ever noticed that? So I really feel like I need to do a couple. I had some CDs here I wanted to give out. I didn't know who I wanted to give them to. But you right there, second row. Yep, you right there. Yep. I want to give this Archangel Michael meditation to you. Because I think that you really need to practice protecting your energy, my dear. Do you understand? Okay. It's really important for you, so this will help, I think. Okay? And I've got... hang on. Where'd she go? Shoot, she was sitting over here when you were mixed up. Oh, the gal right here in the blue. You're right. Yep, you. You send angels to everybody. And that's for you. Okay. So you can call on them for yourself. Okay. What I'd like to do is I'd like to talk about these different levels of vibration. As human beings, we tend to be dense. Have you ever felt dense? Yeah. We tend to be dense because we have these physical bodies. So everyone that comes into this planet comes in as a spiritual being into the physical world, right? And we pick a body. You picked it. So whether you like it or not, you picked it. Okay? You pick a particular body in order to do the work you need to do. Now, I know when I was going through my teenage years, I heard that. I was like, yeah, I would not have picked a body that looks like this. That is exactly how I felt, and I criticized myself every day. But I am telling you what, that journey, that challenge, was one of the greatest gifts I had. Because I get it. I get that struggle with accepting yourself and your weight and your body and your size and your shape and your external everything. I get it. So once we have that soul comes into the body, and then our body, then it makes our energy more dense because we have the physical body. Well, when we shed our body, when I loved how Liz said the other day that Arielle let go of her body. When she let go of her body, our vibration automatically raises. And we move up into, so this is our human level right here, okay, as human beings. Now, we're going to have varying degrees. Like this, is the varying degrees of the humanness of us. You know, when we're meditating and doing our work and taking care of ourselves and those kinds of things, our vibration's going to be a little bit higher. And when we're not and we're depressed and we're angry and we're full of hatred and rage, our vibration's going to be lower. So we'll vary in this area. Once we shed our bodies, we move into this level right here. And again, it has a varying level, varying area. But so once we transition, then we've got this area. And in this area, as the vibration raises through our growth and our learning, once we transition from the other side, this is just stuff that I've learned by talking to the deceased, not because I remember it. Okay, I haven't experienced it, meaning I haven't had a near-death experience. This is in the mediumship communications. So they have this realm of energy, and as they grow and evolve, their vibration raises and raises and raises as they grow and evolve. So the next vibration above the deceased loved ones, deceased energies, is spirit guide energy. We all have spirit guides, whether you recognize it or not, we all do. Spirit guides come into our lives for a purpose. We have one spirit guide that's usually with us our entire journey, several others that come in and out at different times for different reasons. And our spirit guides are more evolved than just the souls that have transitioned. They've chosen to step into what I call a teaching role. And in that teaching role, they are connected to people who had similar journeys on a physical realm as they did. So oftentimes I find in my clients, maybe when they start going to school to be a naturopath, then they may have a medicine man that steps into their vibration, that's new, a newer guide that shows up for that particular reason. So then we got the spirit guide realm. Then we move into the angelic realm. Okay, so the angelic realm, we got the angels, the archangels, your own guardian angels. And that angelic realm is also different vibrations. Angels, archangels, we've got ascended masters. Whatever your understanding of God is, the God of your understanding, the divine. Okay, so this is the levels of vibration. The reason that we want to raise our vibration is because we're here. And when we go to sleep at night, our vibration automatically raises, right? When we get in the dream state and we have experiences and we have dreams and we dream about our deceased loved ones, we aren't dreaming. We are with them. We are experiencing because we're in this vibrational realm. When we connect and communicate and raise our vibration, it's easier to communicate with all of these different levels. So that is the point of raising vibration. Now, there's lots of ways to do that. I think people tend to think it's really hard to do. There are things that can be hard. Meditation can be hard for a lot of people. But I think that's because you have a perception that there's a right and a wrong way to do it. And I disagree with that. I think that if you're sitting out watching the grass grow, that's a form of meditation. If you're sitting under a tree staring at the bees, that's a form of meditation. If you're walking and thinking about affirmations, it's a moving meditation. Meditation, though, I do believe is one of the most important ways to raise your vibration. It's one of the reasons why I've created so many meditation CDs, because I feel like different vibrations reach different people at different times, at different levels, you know, when we're just stepping in or when we're maybe a little bit more advanced. Prayer, for people who are connected to prayer, that's a very important way to raise your vibration. But more importantly, what raises your vibration is quicker than anything is joy. It's joy. Doesn't that seem simple? Just joy. Go find you some joy. Then you'll be able to talk to the angels all day long. Just find some joy. And why is that so hard for us? Because, oh, well, I've got to work before I can find joy. I got to do this before I can do that. A lot of times we don't feel like we deserve to take that time out. We don't deserve to play or have fun or whatever. And what I'm here to tell you is that if you are in a body, which I think most of you are, then you deserve. If you came onto this physical planet, I don't care what history you have. It does not matter to me. I have my own. Then you deserve. Then you are worthy of, fill in the blank, I am worthy, period, of whatever I desire to create, anything. Doesn't matter where you've been. Doesn't matter what you think about where you've been. Does not matter. The only thing that matters is that you connect with your innate value. The difference between self-esteem and self-worth, and so many people think they're the same thing, and they are not. Self-worth is your perception of your value. It is the way you perceive yourself. So, you know what? I messed up all this stuff when I was in my 20s, and I yelled at my kid last night, and I didn't get the dishes done before I went to bed, and there's a little bit of dirt on my floor. So, I'm not very good, or as good as I could be. Self-esteem, perception of your worth. Your self-worth is your innate value. It comes with the body. So when your spirit drops into this body, worth comes with it. You just don't know it because you probably weren't taught it. And when you can remember that, you can ask for that support, ask to be reminded. Ask your angels to remind you of your value. Hopefully that little exercise brought some of that to you, that you were able to see that, feel that value as you are allowing yourself to see and be seen. Ask your angels to remind you of your own value, because when you know that value, you will not put yourself in situations to allow yourself to be abused, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, for long, I will say. Sometimes we're trying to figure it out. We are on this journey. We're all human. We're all growing. We all got our shit. Well, maybe some of you don't. I don't know. I've got mine. And we're all just moving through it the best we can. But you do not have to do it alone. Now, oh my goodness. You guys just want to stay for a few more hours? Me too. You can come on Monday. I'm doing a full conference on Monday if you'd like to come. Okay, I have 10 minutes, and I think what I'd like to do is I got a couple of people that I just want to share a couple of messages with, and then I'll just open it up if you have questions for me for the last couple of minutes. But I want to end. I talked to you about Shamuel, who's the Archangel of Unconditional Love, Raphael for healing, Michael for protection. Michael is very, all of them are important. Sorry, guys. All of them are important. Michael, I think, is the most important in the sense of it is so important to protect your energy. If you protect your energy, you can see things clearly in every other area. But when your energy is muddled by everybody else's stuff, it is very difficult to be able to see clearly. I know that because I experience it on a day-to-day basis. I feel people's physical pain. Even when I protect my energy, I feel it. But as soon as I acknowledge it, it leaves. When I do work with the very first Parents of Murdered Children conference, I speak at their national convention for Parents of Murdered Children. The very first one I did not know how to handle it because I was in a room with 450 people who had had children that had been murdered or more. And I just was overwhelmed with the vibration and the energy of the room. And not that it was negative, it was sad. And so I sat in my hotel room working myself up. You know, okay, Michael's there. Yeah, Michael's there. Okay, Michael's, yep, Michael's here. Because I had experienced that pain so deeply with some of those people. And I'll tell you what, I walked into that space in a place of knowing that I wouldn't have been guided to be there and to speak to them and to do the work that I do with them if they were just going to let me down and not have me protected. And I can't do that work that way. And neither can you. I don't care what kind of work you do. If you work at a grocery store, if you're a nurse, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a truck driver, you cannot do your work to the best of your ability if you have got a bunch of other people's energy that you're taking on as well. So I would really invite you to invoke Archangel Michael. I was going to do a short meditation to do that, but I don't have enough time. So, but the little prayer that I said in the beginning about the bubble, that's on my website, so you can go and actually get it. That is the invocation I do, and I do have it on one of my CDs as well. So, this gal right here in the purple, it feels to me, what's your name, hun? Mary is her name. It feels to me, my dear, like when I'm talking about the protection, I am talking to you. Do you understand that?
Yes.
And what I feel like for you is that Michael's presence is really strong around you, but I don't think you're always conscious of it. So I don't know if you're questioning it, if you hold back, or if it's that you just need to remember to always call him in. And I'm talking on a daily basis. Okay? Because for you, the other thing is I think nature is important to you. Getting outside and getting yourself grounded. I think that sometimes you can take on the energy up here in your head and your head spins around. Not like around in a circle, but the energy in your head goes. And so it's important for you to stay grounded. So, you know, going outside, getting connected to earth, using some stones, some grounding stones would help you as well. Okay, but call in Archangel Michael. He will really help.
Thank you.
Okay? Okay. There was a gal over here, the gal in the red. What's your first name, hon? Kathy? Okay, Kathy. When I was talking about Archangel Shamuel and unconditional love, did that resonate with you?
Very much so.
Yeah, I feel a lot of that energy already around you. But I feel like you give it out. And I don't feel like you accept it for yourself to the level that you could. And that the more that you invite him in to help to guide you, the more that you can share. You've got a really big heart, but it's always directed at others. You understand that? So if you can bring him in, I would put a lot of pink around you. So use, you know, when you're working with the archangels, use the colors that they are connected to in stones and in clothing and things like that to bring that vibration in also. So like when I was 13 was a big year for me, wasn't it? When I was 13, my mother gave me a rose quartz, and she told me to keep it in my pocket all the time because it was supposed to make me love myself. I hadn't gone through the process yet, so I couldn't. But now when I'm feeling like I need to give myself more support, more encouragement, whatever, when I'm having one of my human moments, then I'll grab those different stones. But Archangel Shamuel for you is very important to have in your space for you. Okay? Thank you. Okay. Anybody have any questions? I've got 5 minutes. Okay. Yep. Just go to whoever's close, hon.
What is the energy of yellow? I asked that because I had a friend who called me late one night and said, "Can't come get me before it comes in." My boyfriend killed himself, shot him in the head, and then we went over there. We had to wait through all the police and blah, blah, blah. And this was just the last couple of months. On the way there, I set a meditation because there's like no way I know I can handle any of that. It's so foreign. And I saw this bright light energy with yellow. And that stayed with me that whole time we kept it.
Archangel Uriel is the energy that oftentimes appears a golden yellow to people. And Archangel Uriel is the angel that we call on for illumination, for awareness, for transmutation. So the vibration is there to allow you to see the bigger picture. And so it's a learning process. And the more that you can stay into the space of non-judgment, you can see the bigger picture of why that's taking place. So usually in those types of situations, you're not going to see it in that immediate space. But it's saying, you know what, there is a bigger picture here. You just don't understand it yet. Okay? Anyone else? Yes.
Besides invoking the angels, is there a particular path or set of steps to take to become more intuitive?
To become more intuitive?
Well, become more aware of the angels, I guess.
You know what? The most important thing is just asking. You know, with your guardian angel, it's asking for your guardian angel to give you guidance, to give you support. Sometimes people like to play games with them, like show me a sign now. The now part doesn't work so much because of divine timing, but just asking for them to leave you messages and signs so that you know they're around. The thing is so often we are so busy in our world that we forget to see the signs. So, you know, a shift in vibration almost always, if you feel a strong shift in vibration immediately, it's usually Michael's energy. Very strong, powerful vibration. But it, the most important thing is asking. When you ask and then you get quiet enough to listen, and I don't mean quiet enough meaning it has to be quiet. I mean quiet enough in the sense of observing. Then you will really have that experience. And then saying thank you automatically draws more of that same energy in. Okay? Okay, what I'd like to do, I'm going to stop with questions because I want to wrap up with a song. Hang on, just got to fix her guitar for a minute. I'd like to wrap up with a song. Right after this, I think we're doing a book signing out on the table here. I have one book. It's the Find Me book. That's about the psychic detective work that I do. We have about 10 CDs. Some of Chris's CDs are out at the Hay House table as well. So if you're interested in that, we'd love to have you. And please don't forget to take an angel message on your way out. Okay? So we're going to end with this song. Close your eyes and take a breath. And thank you all.
Help if I put the mic on.
People that are in this room that are helping keep this all coordinated and taking care of all of us. So our music people and the mic gal and the people at the door that are going to hand you your angel messages. We can't do it without them. My assistant, Jamie, who has been wonderful, carried heavy boxes around for me.